In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, understand well today that what you believe in as a Christian, the world considers foolishness. To believe that the babe of Bethlehem is the Son of God in human flesh, and to believe that your salvation comes from that Son of God going to the cross and bleeding and dying naked outside the gates of Jerusalem, and it atones for the sin of the whole world, the world considers that foolishness. And to believe that these gifts come to you in water, by a simple word of God in baptism, that's just as foolish to the world. But don't be ashamed of the foolishness. In today's epistle, the Apostle Paul declared, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Our boast is in the Lord. What he does, what he gives, what he speaks. Baptism is foolish to human reason because God, through water, joins sinners to his Son, forgiving them all their sin and declaring them righteous, justified for Jesus' sake. This gift of forgiveness and righteousness in baptism is received by faith alone. As Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, so that no flesh should glory in his presence. The righteousness of God in Christ is a gift of God's grace. It is not because of our accomplishments. Baptism saves because Christ is in the water and because you and I are joined to him through water and the word. This is foolishness to the world, but for you and for me and for every Christian, it is a source of comfort. And it is a source of peace, and it is a source of strength for living the Christian life. I love the connection between the baptism of our Lord, when Jesus entered the water of the Jordan to fulfill all righteousness, and the crossing of the River Jordan by the children of Israel in our Old Testament reading for today. Think of it. As soon as the Ark of the Covenant entered the water was stopped. The children of Israel crossed into the Promised Land on dry ground. They were saved through water. And the source of that salvation was the Ark, the presence of the Lord that touched that water. As soon as Jesus entered the Jordan River, the heavens were ripped open, the Father spoke his word of approval, and Jesus was set on a path to fulfill all righteousness as the ultimate sacrificial lamb. The source of that salvation is the word made flesh that tabernacled among us, dwelt among us. You see the connection? Jesus fills up the water of baptism with himself. He fills up the water of baptism with himself. When you enter into baptism, you enter into Jesus. As St. Paul would say, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, we too shall walk in the newness of life. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We can understand John's confusion, can't we? John was baptizing sinners. They heard his preaching, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand," and they came from Jerusalem and Judea and all around the Jordan to be baptized by him, confessing their sins, to have their sins washed away. They sought forgiveness from the water, with faith, to be sure, in the coming Redeemer. But they came out confessing their sins, and John was washing them clean. Then Jesus shows up to be baptized, and it makes no sense to John. "I'm the sinner, you're the sinless one. I'm a mortal man, you're the Son of God, and you're coming to me for baptism?" And Jesus' response is very significant. He says, "Permit it to fulfill all righteousness." So what exactly is going on here? In his baptism, Jesus aligned himself with sinful humanity. He entered, as it were, into the polluted waters of our sinful flesh when he entered the waters of the Jordan River. Imagine all of the filth being washed from you and from every human being who has ever lived or who ever will live, and Jesus in his baptism stepped into that filth. He entered into the water not because he had sinned, but rather to take upon himself the sin of the entire world. His baptism destined him to die as the sin bearer. Paul is speaking about this in 2 Corinthians when he says, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become," one of my favorite expressions, "the righteousness of God in him." Dikaiousine tou theou en auto, in case you want to know the Greek. It's a lovely phrase, the righteousness of God. He says, "Permit it to fulfill all righteousness." The scriptures teach that there is only one baptism. Ephesians chapter 4, one baptism. We generally tend to think about this as what John was administering, that baptism, and then what Jesus instituted in Matthew 28, go and make disciples, baptizing, that there's one baptism. And that's not incorrect, but the fountain of understanding concerning baptism is rooted in Jesus' baptism. So when St. Paul says there is only one baptism, all baptisms find their point of origin in the baptism of our Lord Jesus in the Jordan River when he took the sin of the world upon himself, so that in your baptism and mine, his righteousness might be imputed to you. In holy baptism, all sin is literally imputed to Christ. It is transactional language. And his forgiving righteousness is imputed to you in your baptism. John's confusion then gave way to the understanding of what baptism really was all about and the power of baptism to forgive sin. When Jesus came up out of the water, literally the heavens were ripped open, the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove, and the Father spoke his word of justifying approval, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Father was delighted, overjoyed, well pleased with Jesus because he willingly took upon himself your sin. That's why he came into the world, to be the sin bearer. And because of this, God the Father is now pleased with you for Jesus' sake. What he said of Jesus at his baptism, he says of you at your baptism. How can this be so? Because Jesus went to the cross on your behalf. This is the language of substitutionary atonement, vicarious satisfaction. After Jesus' baptism, John grasped it finally. And I can just imagine, he's the son of a priest, Zechariah. He's from the tribe of Levi. They knew better than anyone what went on in those daily sacrificial rituals at the temple. How could I not have gotten it? So when Jesus comes up out of the water, then the realization comes. And John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, understand what your baptism means for you. Holy baptism, for Jesus' sake, gives you a status before God. It gives you the rights and the privilege of Jesus' own sonship. It is why heaven is open to you. It is why in your prayers and mine we have free access to the throne of grace. Luther picks up on this in the Catechism under the explanation to the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father." He says with these words, God tenderly invites us to believe he is our true Father. We are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as dear children ask their dear father. That's what baptism gives you, the status of the sonship of no one less than the Son of God himself, who made full atonement for your sin. There is no wall of partition separating us from God. We have free access to the throne of grace. Your baptism means that you have privileges that an unbeliever does not have. He has placed his name upon you. He has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit, which means that if you are in great turmoil, separated from God through no fault of your own, the word that he has spoken to you and his spirit that he has given to you continues to keep and preserve you in the true faith. That's an amazing reality. It means that you and I, in the day-to-day struggle with sin, are given the privilege to confess our sins, knowing that he hears our confession and forgives us anew, calling us back to the reality of our baptism. The Catechism calls this daily contrition and repentance, the baptismal life. And finally, your baptism gives you the privilege to kneel here before the altar of the Lord, confessing your sin and trusting in the Lord Jesus, and to eat of his body and his most precious blood for your forgiveness. And unlike the children of Israel that could not approach Mount Sinai, or they would die if they touched that Ark of the Covenant, the very body and blood of your Savior can touch your lips, not to condemn you, but to save you from all sin, from all sickness, and from death, as he pledges to you the resurrection of the body, the heritage of your baptism. We conclude today's celebration of the baptism of our Lord by focusing upon the evangelist Matthew's use of the word righteousness, dikaiosune. This word refers to Christ and what he has done for you and for all humanity in his death upon the cross. It's interesting. The word righteousness occurs 7 times in Matthew's gospel. The first is in today's gospel at Jesus' baptism, where he says he will fulfill all righteousness. The 7th occurrence is at the end of the gospel, where Jesus speaks of John the Baptist's ministry, that he came in the way of righteousness. What does that mean? He came in the way of righteousness, calling people to repentance, calling them no longer to rely upon themselves, but to trust in Jesus, the Redeemer, whose way he was preparing. The other 5 occurrences, all of them are in the Sermon on the Mount. These references are all intertwined and connected. From the Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." You could replace righteousness with Christ. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for Christ. They shall be filled. It has both a baptismal connection and a Lord's Supper connection as we literally eat of our salvation. Again, from the Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here, to be persecuted for righteousness' sake is to be persecuted for Jesus' sake. 10 verses later, unless your righteousness exceeds or is greater than the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. For the only righteousness that avails before God and rescues us from sin is the righteousness of Christ. And at the end of chapter 6, the call away from reliance upon anything else we might trust in, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The righteousness of God for which we hunger and thirst, the righteousness of God for which we are persecuted, the righteousness of God which is greater than the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, and by which we enter into the kingdom of heaven without fear, the righteousness of God which we seek first above all other things, is the forgiving righteousness of Christ. In his baptism, our sin was laid upon Jesus. In our baptism, the righteousness of his death is given to us as a free gift of God's grace. Today, he calls you to believe this with all your heart, to stake your future upon it, to draw every comfort and strength for living in this world of darkness and under the cross of affliction from it. Jesus' death and resurrection fills up the water of baptism. Baptism saves because baptism gives you Jesus and his righteousness that covers all your sin. Baptism gives you everything you need as a Christian: comfort, peace, strength for living. And when you fall asleep in death, the confidence that you belong to him who gave his life for you. You and I can say with certainty in the face of temptation, the devil's accusations, the fear of death, Christ is my righteousness. Because I am baptized into Christ and his righteousness, the Holy Spirit has descended upon me, and I have the peace of God. And the Father has spoken, you are my beloved, because you are joined to my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And if the Father is pleased with Jesus, then he is pleased with you for Jesus' sake. Can there be any greater gift than to be joined to Christ and his forgiving righteousness in the waters of holy baptism? Now again, the world considers it nonsense, utter foolishness. But to those who believe, it is a fountain and source of grace and blessing. Paul said it well in today's epistle. You are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.